Good morning and welcome to Wasega Community Church. This morning's announcements are what's happening in the family. We are planning the church opening to be on Thanksgiving weekend. Protocols will be put in place and must be adhered to by all. Then we have Operation Christmas Child. Is now the boxes are now ready for pickup here at the church, and you can, if you have any questions about that, you can call me or ask me for any other detail you need for that. Let's go right into the praise and prayer request for today. Crystal Rast is asking for continued prayer for her sister, whose eyes have been still giving her problems. And the most elderly people in the church, Colin and Marg, are asking that the Lord give them peace of mind and comfort of spirit with the decisions they are making with respect to Marg's health and well-being. Those are the prayer requests. Praise right now is we want to praise God for Pastor John and his family who are on vacation for a couple of Sundays. My name is Carl Dulk, and I will be taking the pulpit for the next 2 weeks. Let's go to birthdays. Well, we want to say happy birthday to Joyce Gold, September the 30th. Dave Thornton, way up there in Elliott Lake on October the 1st. And Betty Porter, whose birthday is on October the 2nd. Anniversaries. Oh my goodness, John and Jane Hamilton's anniversary on October the 1st. I don't know how many that is, but I'm sure they can tell us sometime how many it will be. So let's go to prayer for these praise and prayer requests. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, Father, that on this day of prayer worldwide, that you are here. That your desire, Father, is us to be one with you. And Father, I lift up Crystal's sister, who still has his eye problem, and I ask you, Father, to touch her eyes as only you can. Give the doctors wisdom as they work on her eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Colin and Marg. Thank you for their lives, for all they mean to this church. And Father, as they begin to make decisions about their futures, I pray that you would just guide them and direct them and give them your peace. For this we thank you now, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick souls. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. And then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick souls. If you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As I've been thinking today and over the past week about speaking this Sunday and next Sunday, I've been thinking about the seven metaphors that come in the Gospel of John. These seven metaphors begin with the two words, I am. I want to begin this morning by reading the seven I ams. All of the I am statements are found in that Gospel of John. Title for my message is, I am that I am. And the first I am statement is found in John 6 and 35. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The second is found in John chapter 8 and verse 12. I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness. Whoever follows me shall have the light of life. In John 10, verse 7, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. In John 10, verse 11, I am the light of the world. Whoever enters through me will be saved. John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. John 11, 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies. And the one who lives and believes in me will never die. And in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. And finally, in John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word today and as we have read your word today, Father, I believe that your word is like a two-edged sword. Let it go out and let it do the work that needs to be done in this community and through around the world. For we give you thanks for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Before I continue, I wanted to thank Gail for singing those two songs, especially since today is the Worldwide Day of Prayer. Thank you very much for that. Now, you know what? There are seven I ams in John's gospel, but there might be an eighth, but it's a different kind of eighth. Let me read it for you. We read in John's gospel, chapter 8 and verse 58, before Abraham was born, I am. The first seven I ams are claims by Jesus of his divinity to the Hebrews, trying to show them who he is. But in John 8 and verse 58, it is the definite statement of his divinity. Before Abraham was born, I am. So he is saying absolutely, before Abraham was, I am. Before Isaac was, I am. Before Jacob was, I am. Before Moses was, I am. Before David was, I am. before Daniel or the apostles, before Paul, I am. Before you and me, I am. When we're all gone, he will still be the great I am. He is the great I am, which in terms of who we are, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. Before the foundation of the universe, Jesus is the I am that brought all things into existence. John 1 tells us that. Before anything existed, in Moses, when Moses asked the question in Exodus 3, verse 14, when Moses asked the question, who shall I say has sent me? I am, says to Moses, tell them, I am has sent me to you. This is his name forever and ever. I am. There is no other. God who never changes. God who is the all in all, all seeing, all knowing, all powerful. John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. When Jesus said this, he is claiming to be God, not God's helper. He is the great I am. But when the Jews and the Pharisees and the Sadducees heard this, him saying this, they picked up stones to stone him. And Jesus hid himself from them and went into the mountains. Jesus, there is no other. I am God, says Isaiah 46 and verse 9. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. He is the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, the great I am. So let's take the next few minutes to look at a little closer at just one of the of Christ's I am statements, because I know that in this brief time we have together, I cannot do justice to all seven I ams. So I'm going to take just one today and have a look at it. Next week we'll continue on from there. First, I want to look at is found in John 6 and 35, and the words come up, Then Jesus said, I am. He declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. This is an emphatic statement. The word says so. Then Jesus declared, hey, don't get me wrong in this. Here it comes. I declare I am the bread of life. Well, prior to this declaration, what had just happened in the past day or so? If we go to the Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Jesus asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip came back and said, Lord, 8 months' wages couldn't buy enough food for this crowd. And one of the disciples came to him and says, Lord, this little boy has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, have the people sit down. Jesus, give thanks. And the loaves and fishes were miraculously transformed into enough to feed the 5,000. Remember, in those days, only the men were counted. So there are 5,000 men, approximately. But we do not know how many women or children there were. There could have been easily 15,000. So when Jesus took this little boy's lunch, these 5 loaves and these 2 fishes, and he prayed over them, And miraculously, they transformed into enough food to feed that many people. And then after they were done, they collected what was left over and they had 12 basketfuls. Well, after the meal was finished, the people got together and they wanted to make him king by force. It says that. It says that nothing is to be wasted. Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. His disciples, on the other hand, got into a boat and started to row across the lake. It was very dark. Jesus had not yet joined them. He wasn't in the boat when they left. Verse 18 says, John 6, a strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough and they only rowed, for those of us who are still in that way of thinking, 3 to 3.5 miles or 5 to 6 kilometers. The waters grew very rough. They looked up and saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. And they were terrified. Jesus had just hours before performed a powerful miracle of feeding 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now Jesus comes out to the boat walking on the water. And I believe he is trying to teach his disciples a very powerful message. I am who I say I am. It is I. Do not be afraid of anything. Remember these things, folks. Remember these things. So when you're in a difficult situation, and there will be difficult situations, remember when you find yourself in a difficult situation, remember what you have seen Christ do in the passage we're reading today. And as you read the word yourself, you know that you know that you know that Jesus is the great I am. And he says, I am with you, even to the end of the age. Let's get back to the people. Once they realized, A, that there was only one boat, and Jesus not get into it, and B, once they realized neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats that had come from Tiberias and went to where Jesus was. Now, I have no idea how they knew he was already on the other side of the lake. Doesn't tell us. Question from the people. Rabbi, when did you get here? When did you get here? Immediately, Jesus knew why they had come. Immediately, he knew why they had come. In John chapter 6, verse 26, he says, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. He goes on to say, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Don't believe me because you saw the miraculous signs, and not because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, he says, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. You know, when a king wants people to know that what comes from him is truly from the king would put his seal on it. And people would see that the seal was there and they would know that it's part of the king. You could actually do that. God's seal of approval is on God the Son. Make no mistake about it. The Pharisees, the Sadducees picked this up and were madder than hornets. For Christ was equating himself with the Father. And the people picked this up in the very next verse. In John 6 and 28, he says, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" They, of course, were trying to trick him. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Believe in the one he has sent. That's the really hard work which Christ just put on the people. To believe in the one that God the Father has already sent. You and I, the disciples, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those who are viewing this today, the hard work that God wants from us is to believe in his Son, whom he sent to us. Just believe, he's saying. Just believe. Very next mouthful from them is very, very simple. So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So, Moses gave us bread from heaven. Moses did this. And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They declared right away. They said right away, "Give us this bread. Give us this bread. This manna." Here again, Jesus speaks truth to them. "For they are seeing but not seeing, and they are hearing but not hearing." In verse 32, the bread from heaven is not from Moses. Christ's Father gives you the true bread from heaven. In verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." For we know in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Friends, as you look at that verse, it is a verse that is kicked around the world all the time. You see it at sporting events all the time. The truth of the matter is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Christ didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. "Taste the bread of life, come down from heaven, and live forever. Just believe." He promises that to those who believe, that he will raise them up on the last day. Soon and very soon, if you believe, we're going to see the king. The way things are going in the world today, that could happen any moment now. Soon and very soon. Verse 40, John 6 says, "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him, shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Everything the Old Testament says, it is all predictive of one thing, of Christ's coming, his return in the form God-man who takes away the sin of the world. He is the bread. He is the light. He is the resurrection. He is the gate. He is the door. He is my all in all. I hope that he is yours as well. God is the God of Israel. God is the God of the world. He's the God of you and me. Old Testament is a shadow of what is to come in the New Testament. The Old Testament is all about law. The New Testament is all about love. Christ came. He loved so much. Christ is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament types and shadows. What the Old Testament law could never do, Christ did when he came. Jesus puts it very simply for you and me in John 6:29, to believe in the one God the Father has sent. You know, folks, we all have the right to make choices for ourselves. Presented with the facts, we can make an informed decision. Well, this morning, I have tried to lay out the facts. A, before Abraham was born, Jesus, the great I am, existed. And Jesus said, 2, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And 3, verse 40, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This body will die, but you will live on in Christ. That's when Jesus said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. That is eternal. Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your word. I pray, Father, you would take these words now and put them in our lives, in our hearts. Let us hide them there that we might say, I believe in the one you have sent. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.